Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, it is traditional on the first Sunday after Christmas to read these opening words of the Gospel of John, widely known as the prologue to the Gospel of John. And we have here yet another way of talking about who this person Jesus was. We hear from Paul, and Paul here is speaking about Jesus as the Christ. And we have heard the story as told by Luke on Christmas Eve, and now we hear the theology of the Gospel of John, which is different, and I would say, in a sense, the theology of John, in some sense, feels more contemporary than many of the other theologies, for this reason, because it is cosmological. It is asking, where did things come from? And that is a question that we spend quite a bit of time on. One of our parishioners here said, "Merry Christmas, David," and gave me a book. And the book was, "Why Does the World Exist?" And starts with the fundamental question, why is there something rather than nothing? And John was asking that question as well. And his answer, he uses that Greek philosophical term. We hear it as word, but in Greek it's the logos. And the meaning of that is not easy to define, but John is defining it by what occurs through the word. All things are created through this divine presence that I am calling the word. And I hope for a couple of things today. One of them is, I hope that we hear John's question in continuity with our own questioning. We still look up at the stars and say, where did this come from? What gave rise to this vast universe? Now, the universe in which we dwell has gotten considerably bigger than first century Palestine. I still, in my brief human form, I would be lying if I said I understood what it's like for there to be an object in our universe that emitted its light and traveling at 186,000 miles a second, it takes that light 10 billion years to get here. I don't even begin to understand that scale. And yet, for us as contemporary human beings, that is the universe that is being put forth in front of us. That's the universe we're being asked to consider. And the affirmation of the Gospel of John still pertains. The force, the power, the energy, the presence that brought forth the universe is also something to which we are intimately connected. We live by that same energy. And one of the tensions that is all through Scripture is the tension between what we hear in the Gospel. This is the light that enlightens all people. I mean, are we taking that seriously? All people? Or is it just those who believe in Jesus? Or is it just those who are within the Jewish covenant? Or is it really all people? We are, what John affirms, and I ask us to affirm, is that we are connected to the very power that brought the universe into being. And it's not just that we're connected, but I hope you heard in the Gospel when John was speaking of Jesus, and he says, he has made God known. It's not just that there's a big power, but that power has been made known among us. And that in our human language, the way we talk about the cosmos and our experience, our language, that presence is known as love. That presence is known as love. Now, I cannot prove that, and neither can you. That is a statement about the quality or the nature or the character of the universe. And those are the kinds of questions that legitimately have to be referred to faith. Faith is not required when a doctrine is put before you. Those are human words, and you can reasonably ask that you understand what the doctrines are saying. No, don't just because the doctrine is hard to understand, don't call it a mystery. It's part of human words struggling to express something that is fundamentally inexpressible. But with faith, as we've been talking sort of in recent weeks, this kind of summary of faith. Faith has to do with those human questions that have no answers. Nobody can prove that the nature of the universe is what we would call love. It's a possibility, but there's quite a bit of evidence to suggest that it's not so loving. So it's a question. Or whether it is better to love your fellow human beings, or to be suspicious of them, and to distrust them, and to hide from them, or to try to get as much as you can from them. All of those are questions that have to do with values. And faith is the lived answer to those questions. Because even though the questions have no answers, you've got to answer them. And you answer them with the way you live your life. And you can't get out of answering. Not to answer, not to pay attention, not to raise the questions, that's your answer. And you won't get very deep into the mysteries of human life. And finally, nobody can do it for you. Your beholding the universe is your own beholding. And you have to come to your own faith decisions. So we're looking at an ancient expression of cosmic mystery. And I want to open it up just a little bit more, because we can be so sensitive about language and yet so attached to specific words. And I, for one, and I find it helpful, I hope you find it helpful, to remember that the words we use to talk about God are always pointing beyond themselves. The words themselves point but do not capture the living, dynamic reality of God. And so, just to consider, John says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Chinese, when they translate the Gospel of John, they do not use the Greek philosophical concept, logos. They say, "In the beginning was the Tao." Some of you know the Tao Te Ching, the way, the great way, which in Chinese thought, that it's a linguistic symbol. It's a word that points for them both to the ultimate ground of everything, the source, and every particular creature, every particular manifestation. So you've got the great depth, and you've got all the particulars. In the beginning was the Tao. In the beginning was the Word. Our human language, point, but it does not capture, but we have to use our language carefully, but it does not capture. There is space for our human imagination to ask those questions, and then to consider what it really means to affirm of Jesus that he was so intimately connected with the power that creates the universe, that we say that power and Jesus are one. They share the same life, the same power. And then ask ourselves, are we included in that picture? Paul essentially says in his letter to the Galatians today, what I say every Sunday in our offertory sentences. We make our offerings because we are glad that we have been invited to share in the same spirit that filled the heart and mind of Jesus with love. Which is exactly what Paul says. The Spirit of the Son has been poured into our hearts. And you would probably know me well enough to believe that I take it in its universal sense when I hear in the Gospel of John that this is the light that enlightens all people. And I groan a little bit when I hear the psalm. I don't know if you hear this, but you will now. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not done so to any other nation. To them he has not revealed his judgments. Hallelujah. Sorry, Israel, that's kind of wrong-headed. Because really what you want is not to... The emphasis cannot be on we are special because to us has been entrusted this knowledge. The celebration, the real celebration, is when every nation and every human being is filled with the knowledge of God. This is not something that you want to limit. If it's the exercise of human religious institutions in history that want to take over vast populations, limit that. But the real Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that has been poured into human hearts and reminds us that we are children of God and that we can speak to the source of the universe in the intimacy of Abba, which in the Aramaic I think is like daddy. Then if we begin to understand that intimate connection between ourselves and that it is shared between ourselves and God and that it is shared with all creation, then we begin to say that those words of the Gospel of John, knowing that it includes us as well. The Word not became flesh but is becoming flesh in every moment. That's the dynamic of creation. And it includes us. And what has been made known in Jesus is that the quality or character of the universe as it concerns us is entirely love. Sing with joy for what has come upon us in Christmas. For it opens the universe back up to us. No matter how vast, how cosmic, how seemingly cold it might be, there is warmth and love at the heart of the universe, and it is within each one of us. Now go and live in the faith that that is true.